Welcome back to That's How It Goes. This is Deniz, Walid,
and Burak. Hi guys, we're back.
Burak will not be able to be with us today. And our guest, Fiona. Welcome, Fiona.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Would you like to tell about yourself a little?
Sure. So I'm Fiona, and me with my husband, we run this company called Doorstep Learning. Where we have a team of tutors who go to people's houses, to go to our students' houses, and we deliver music lessons. In the past 2 years, we've also gone into different avenues of, you know, doing different entertainment, extracurricular activities apart from music. So yeah, in a nutshell, that's who we are. That's what I do.
Yes. And you have a dog. How long it has been since you came to Dubai?
So I have been in Dubai for the past 8 years. My husband and I, we got married, and that's
here in Dubai.
No, we met in India, and we got married in India, and I moved right 10 days after we got married. So my husband was here for the past 11 years, and 8 years ago is when I joined him. Yeah.
Yes. Let's start dive into the music with you.
Sure.
I know your passion. Mm. But can you tell us what makes music fascinating part of our life, our kids' life?
Yeah. You know, music is something that is beautiful in itself, right? Like, you cannot describe music for what it is. Like, you feel different emotions when you are listening to music. Music has the ability to take you way back in time. Like, you know, you listen to a song and you remember your college days, or, you know, you remember your childhood days. So music in itself is beautiful. But the fascinating part about music is how it lights up a child's brain. You know, like, there are different things that music does to your brain, creating neural pathways. Like, for example, your sensory cortex, your motor cortex is responsible for movement and coordination, while your auditory cortex is kind of processing your, your sound. So, you know, it's all working together while lighting it up. So when your child is clapping, playing, or even listening to a simple beat, music is just not for entertainment. It's actually building your brain up.
Something magical. It makes you sad. Yeah. It makes you happy, right?
I even heard, like, sometimes they tell, like, pregnant women to play classical music. I don't know how true this is or how it can affect, but do you have any knowledge of this, or, like, is it just a general thing?
So when a pregnant woman listens to music, obviously, you know, the mother is so connected to the baby that everything the mother feels, the baby also feels.
Right.
So music, when I say enhances your entire brain, you know, function, that's what exactly is happening to the brain. So if you're happy during your pregnancy, your child is going to be happy. It's the same like eating good food, right, during your pregnancy, because you're giving the best nutrients for your child.
Yes,
you
yes.
also want to give the best emotions to your child as well. Plus, music, or like I said before, music enhances your entire brain capacity. It's forming different neural pathways within the brain. So, you know, there's a research that is done, there's a study that is done using medical equipment. And when you're reading mathematics, there is a certain, a part of your brain that lights up. When you're reading, there's a certain part of your brain lights up. But when you're listening to music, they say it's like fireworks in the brain. You know, that's what music does to your brain. So when the mother is listening to the music while she's pregnant, I am sure it's doing something to the baby's brain. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
100%. Why do you think every child should experience it, playing an instrument, maybe once at least in their life?
So music is something that brings joy to your life. You know, it's not only going to enhance your academic. Yes, like I said, it does work a lot on your brain. So you have, you know, the mathematical abilities. You know, when you're doing rhythm, you're able to express yourself better. So you're able to regulate yourself better. Your social skills are so much better because it enhances memory and a lot of other things. But I feel every child should experience music just for the joy of it, because it just brings so much joy into your life. And I just feel like kids who learn music are so much better at, you know, expressing themselves. They're so much better at, you know, in a social setting. They are, they ultimately become, you know, executive thinkers. They're critical thinkers. They are perfectionists at what they do. So I just feel like music, one is for joy. And the second thing is, if you're planning to pursue it, then, you know, there's just so much that music brings with itself. Yes.
And what do you think, like, you know, parents get lost. What instrument should I teach my kid? What if my kid gets bored? Especially now, you can learn instruments on the iPads and stuff. I see it from my nephew and niece. Like, you just put a piano and go there.
Yeah.
So I think two parts of the question. How would you, if a parent comes in, how would you recommend, like, what the pathway they should take the kid? Or is it the history? Is it whatever you guys see fit? And how do you make sure that this kid doesn't get bored? Or is it just like trial and error?
Yeah. So that's actually a very good question. And I get asked about this at every inquiry that I get or every parent that I'm speaking to. Firstly, it will all depend on, you know, the age of the child, their interest, what kind of learners they are.
Mm-hmm.
Are they auditory learners? Do they want to learn just for passion, or do they want to learn, you know, to pursue this and become a career? And one of the things I tell parents is, which instrument they choose will depend on, you know, depend on their, first of all, their age, because you cannot have a four-year-old take up the guitar, because it can be very harsh on your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
You could start with something like a piano that's gentle, you know, you kind of, it's just nice to hear. You could start with the ukulele. It's small. It comes in all sizes. It comes in all colors. You can, you know, buy a bright pink ukulele to a bright yellow or a green, you know. So it is a very child-friendly instrument. If the child is six, then yes, technical piano is something that they will, you know, want to do. They will understand better. They will want to stick with it. So yeah, that is something that we can definitely, you know, look at.
How do we keep them engaged out of the lessons?
Yes. Or maybe is it okay to get bored and try another one?
So, see, the thing is, discipline is what makes them bored. It's not the instrument, okay?
Okay.
So making the instrument feel like pressure is going to make them bored.
Mm-hmm.
But the instrument should be linked to joy. Like, for example, you know, it's like me making a resolution on the 1st of Jan saying, I'm going to go to the gym every day. But if I'm going to pressure myself into going into the gym every day, even after not liking it, I'm not going to do it. Like, the results are just not going to come. But when I say, okay, I'm going to make sure that 3 times a week I'm going to be in the gym, even if it is for 10 minutes, and I'm going to enjoy my time there, I'm still going to be able to do it. Even if not 3 times, 2 times. You know, so I feel like if you can make their practice enjoyable more than it being pressure, then I feel that the children really stick to it. Because honestly, children in Dubai are busy. They are more busy than their parents. They have so many extracurricular activities.
Yes, yes.
And they do not have time. So what I tell my kids is, hey, you know what? You're going to play this. If I teach them, for example, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, you know, little ones, 6, 7 years old. I tell them, okay, every day you will play this for 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Only 2 times. And I know by the time I meet them for the next class, I know that they have perfected that. Is because, and 2 times takes about maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Not even that, know? So it's that, maybe just like finding different paths and different ways to kind of get them engaged. It does get boring. I've been there, done that. I have not practiced for months. My parents have not been very happy. But what brought me back to the instrument was just feeling the joy of it when hearing it. Yeah.
How did you start playing piano?
So I started when I was 3 years old. So my parents enrolled me in a music class. And I started with the piano. I left it for a bit. Then I started the violin. Left it for a bit, you know, then I've explored and learned most of the Indian instruments like the tabla, the sitar, the harmonium. That is how I started. And then after that, you know, I stuck to playing the piano, the electronic keyboards and the violin. So I play these three instruments professionally, and I also sing. But the milestones have been very important in my journey. Like, just when I started, my teacher taught me Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and I thought I was the best pianist in the world. Then it went on to, you know, different, more complex songs and more complex songs. So there's always a sense of achievement that comes within the process.
Okay, yeah. So it's safe to say Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star is the first song you ever played.
Yes, yes. Mary Had a Little Lamb and Twinkle, Twinkle, okay. Little Star. Yes,
but
that's
what's the highlight song that you would say you played? Like if there's okay. one song or melody or classical joint, which one would you be like, yes, when I played this, I knew
okay.
I was good.
I did it.
Yeah. See, for a musician, right, like that's such a difficult question to answer because like I said, you know, at every milestone, mm-hmm. you play a song and you feel like, oh, I'm a very accomplished musician until and unless, you know, another complex piece comes along and you're just like, oh my goodness, like yeah. I thought that was the peak. No, that's not the peak, you know. So there have been a few. I have played for Elise, which I thought was amazing. Like I just played it for everybody. On the violin, I learned this song called The Grandfather's Clock when I was mm-hmm. just about maybe 7 or 8 years old. And I thought I was the best violinist in the world, you know. And now I'm trying to crack a simple piece like River Flows in You, you know. So yeah, so I don't have that one particular piece that I okay. can point at. But it's been a journey. And it's been a journey of multiple songs, you know.
Yes, definitely.
So yeah.
Who's your favorite composer?
Okay, so growing up, I've played a lot of classical pieces between Beethoven and Mozart. I usually lean towards Mozart. I wouldn't say he's my favorite composer because I've been a lot into pop music. I love pop music. So I would say maybe Chris Martin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I
okay.
love, you know, his description doesn't say that he's a composer,
uh-huh.
but he produces music, he writes his own music, you know, with his band. So
yes, yes.
He definitely ultimately is a composer and his music is all about love.
Okay.
So that's the highlight. I love
yeah,
him.
Of course.
Yeah.
Do you have one song that gives you chill?
Yes. Yes.
When you hear it, you get emotional or maybe memories come back.
Yes. It's called One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's such a beautiful song.
Yes.
Yeah. It talks about how that one moment in time, it's that one thing that you, you know, live to do every single day and you do your best every single day.
Yes.
And you're just like chasing with destiny. So it's such a beautiful song. Every time I listen to it, it gives me the
but
chills.
But you think the chills come from how strong her voice is, the music composition, or how they put it all together?
I think it's the lyrics
okay.
and then the way she has delivered the song.
Because
so
she is on a different level.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
She is
yes.
amazing.
She can go places,
yeah, yeah. She is definitely on a different level. And her delivery is so beautiful. So it's just every time I hear the song, it's like goosebumps.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I would add to yeah. the question. Do you think the artist adds value to a composition or does the composition add value to an artist's voice? You get my point. So like
yeah.
if I have a yeah. certain composition, there are certain artists that can sing a piece and
yeah.
others that can't and different tonalities have different. But which is, you think, more important on a scale? Is it the voice or is it composing the whole thing?
So obviously your lyrics are like, you know, the crux of it, then the music behind it,
mm-hmm.
but the artist is technically the brain behind all of it, right?
Okay.
So until and unless you don't have an artist, all of that art is not going to come out. So definitely the artist, and then they have their uniqueness that they bring to the song. So yeah, I mean, everything, you can't choose between the two because it just goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this, right? So definitely the artist first, yes, and then their thoughts and the process that they put into it makes the song beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and during singing, they are the peaks of the sounds and the songs.
Yeah,
it's also very effective, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends also on the listener, because like with me, I like to listen to the beat. Than what is going on. So I would memorize a song from the beat, not from like what's like the yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah. It's very
oh, wow.
I don't know why, but this is yeah. Especially like because I listen to hip hop. Lab music. Ah, okay. But I like listening to them on the live performances because they actually use the equipment. Mm. So there's a drummer and there's a bassist and there's a guitarist and all of these. I would just listen to instrumentals more than just a song. Yeah, they go live performance. What you see is like this thing in the club. Then on the stage, it's actually on drums. And then you remember, yes, even this type of genre of music is composed from this. So, so I think it's very important to learn this stuff.
Yeah, true.
How was building your business here in Dubai? Settling was difficult. How was it? Or it was easier and it gave you more advantage, or did it have some negative sides as well?
So thankfully, we've not really experienced the negative sides during the business, during the building years of the business. Yes, it was tough because I was about 23 when I got married to my husband and I moved here.
Very young.
Yeah, yeah. So 6 months into us moving here, my husband actually had lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was teaching in India. I had taught in multiple international schools as well as, you know, as they are visiting faculty, not as their regular faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was freelancing and teaching. And when I moved here, I wanted to do the same thing. I have a degree in physiotherapy, but that is something that I've never pursued. So I've always been a keen interest in neurology. So that's where the entire brain aspect of, you know, music and how children connect to music comes into play. So when I did come to Dubai and after my husband losing his job, we were just like, hey, you know what, let's just take a leap and start something and let's trust ourselves. And, you know, let's not go back to the whole corporate thing. We will start something of our own. So we went to register our business and we gave all our money that was in our account. When we returned home, we had 100 dirhams in our account to start with no visa. So we literally had to do our visas as well. But Dubai has been very kind to us. Our clients have been very kind to us. They believed in us. And since then, we've only had word of mouth. So it started with, you know, two teachers. That's me and my husband. My husband teaches drums. He's an excellent drummer.
Nice.
And it started with the two of us. And now we've grown into a large team 8 years down the line. So Dubai has been very kind to us in the whole building process.
Would you like to say something about your brand? I mean, you have a very cute brand.
Okay.
Also, the name is very cute.
Would you
like to tell more about it?
Sure. So we have two parts to the brand. One is Doorstep Learning and one is Little Rockstars Global. In Doorstep Learning, our teachers go to, the students' houses and we deliver music lessons. It's fun because we don't believe in one size fits all format. We don't take the children to book. You know, Mira has been with me for a while now.
Yeah, yeah.
But we tailor the music plan according to the child's needs. So if the child is like, hey, you know what? I don't want to do, you know, a reading music. Then we're like, okay, we're still going to bring it, but in a very fun way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to teach you how to kind of play by ear. Or if the child comes to us and says, the parent comes to us and says, hey, we want our children to learn and pursue music for what it is. And, go and maybe do exams and pursue it seriously. So we also do that. On the other hand, we have something called as Little Rockstars Global, where we start music for children from 4 months old all the way till 4.5 years old, where they explore sounds and rhythms. And
more little ones.
They do all the sensory activities. We have science experiments. So it is beautiful for the children, you know. It's a very engaging class. It's a very sensory-oriented, very, very heavy sensory-oriented class. So the kids, like I said, neural connections in the brain, that's what we're trying to form, you know, and make their brain work at full capacity.
But they get very happy with those classes.
Yeah.
They like
for
it.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, let's say now, okay, children.
Yes. Children now.
Now let's say I'm interested.
Okay.
I haven't played an instrument in maybe more than 20 years.
Well, do you have any talent? Like when you hear something, are you able to play it without notes or?
No. I wish.
But you like.
I love, okay, so let's say I kind of compose music in my head.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm very creative inside my head, but I cannot put it out. So artistically, graphics, I create a lot in my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Music, I create a lot in my mind. I used to write music, but then I lost interest for some reason.
Or maybe you must record.
Could be, could be. You know, I used to write like rhymes and stuff back in school, but and I lost interest down the line. I used to draw and do graffiti, but for some reason, again, lost the interest of it. Or maybe because maybe no one was there to actually feed this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a thing. Yeah. But yeah, I do have, I like, like I can sit there and like if the music is going, is moving, I'm listening to the beat.
Yeah.
And then I start adding bits to it in my head. I'm like, if they put this here and this here, maybe what will it? So my question would be if like, let's say I'm now 31, I come to you guys and I'm like, I'm interested in both drums and piano.
Sure.
But I'm a very chaotic person and I'm not very like organized. And so. Do you feel like the drums would feed this better or like the piano would feed this better? Or how do you like come and tell me like, no, Waleed, either... Like, how would you help me choose which is better? Because I actually, when I told you now outside, I want to start something.
Sure.
I just want to get the sensory things into it. So.
So the first question I would ask you is, what are you looking to do with that, right? Mm-hmm. With your instrument? Like, do you want to come back home after your work and be like, hey, I am still having that energy and I want to, you know, get my energy out? Or you want to be calm and peaceful and, you know, you just want to kind of listen to relaxing music and just kind of do very structured learning. So if you want to do a very structured kind of learning and you don't want to, you know, have the noise around you, then I'd be like, hey, why don't you explore the piano or the or the guitar or even the violin, you know?
Okay.
Yes, if you do have the energy for drums and you don't mind the sound, that is in your case, right? Because you said you're a very sensory, heavy person. So definitely, you know, I'd be like, hey, go for drums.
Yeah.
So when it comes to adults, we do ask these kind of questions and we are like, hey, we do have a free trial concept. I'm going to send a teacher to you, one for drums and one for piano. You choose which one you want to go ahead with.
Perfect.
You know?
Yeah. Do you have a physical location?
No, we don't have a physical location yet. We're working towards that. Hopefully very soon. But our main concept is sending tutors to the students' home.
Okay.
Yeah, so that they are at ease, you know. They are in the comfort of their house. They have their own instruments. They can practice whenever they want to.
Yes.
They have a cozy corner set in their house. You know, they don't have to really keep moving. So it just works. It just works, yeah.
Especially for piano, I think.
Yes.
Right? Because they have to practice also.
Any instrument.
Any, right.
Yeah. You have to practice. So you need to have your own instruments. And that is one of the things that we also often get asked is, do we need to have an instrument?
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Because, you know, it's a 45-minute learning. You meet the teacher only for 45 minutes. But the entire week is technically your practice and your effort.
Maybe they are... Family is asking those questions so many times because not everybody has a big space in their houses, you know, for pianos or other instruments. But definitely there are options, right?
Yes, there are options. So, for example, we had two of the kids who were in transit from Lebanon and they were moving from Lebanon to Dubai and then they were on their way out after a few months. And so... They actually, we hired a studio space where our teachers would then go to the studio and they would come to the studio and do the classes.
Oh, okay,
so that is also a possibility. We've done that with multiple students over the years as well. So yeah, so it's if you don't want to keep it in your house, you want to go to a studio, then definitely.
Yeah, I don't think our parents would like to have drums upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kids just waking up and
yeah. So
I would not prefer it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
So, you know, we've actually found an alternative to that as well because we're just like, okay, you don't want to have an acoustic drumstick. Drums don't have it. Go for electronic.
Yeah, they have the ones. Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, yeah. You can also like dampen the sound. But you're still hearing the tuck, 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 tuck that's going also.
But that electronics, does that really give you that, I'm playing drum feeling or?
So I've asked this to my husband and he says he prefers the acoustic set because he can just go all out and, you know, play it. But it's like each to their own if they do not want the heavy sounds.
Yeah, but like, let's say if I'm staying in a studio, a building and stuff.
Definitely.
Of course, the electric would be
much better.
Yeah, and I think
because then you can control the volume.
And I think it's less of a space and less of a, it's like a cheaper option, but you're still learning.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yes.
Because we do have students who have like big houses, but they still wouldn't want to put an acoustic drum set just because of the sound, you know. So mothers will know.
Like, let's say, what if the kids are interested, but the parents just put them because they want them to learn an instrument and the parents don't care? Because, you know, it's a mix and match.
Yeah.
How would this affect the practice, you think? What, like, how would you tell the parent and like guide a parent? Like, look, if your kid doesn't practice, it's like school. If they don't study, they fail. If they don't practice, they won't get better. They will get frustrated. I don't want you come telling me we're paying you money, they're not getting better. Sure. How would you find a way or like guide a parent to tell them how to let their kids practice?
So, you know, that's actually a very good question because I do have these circumstances every time. Most of the time it's like, actually, usually it's the other way around where the parents are very much interested for their children to practice because they have seen a skill. You know, parents see potential in their children and that is why one of the reasons is they enroll for these classes. But sometimes if the parent, say, are very busy or, you know, most of them also travel and things like that, one of the things I tell them is maybe just a gentle reminder, hey, what's happening with your music? You know, why don't you play something for us? Or, you know, while they're playing something, just record them quickly and share it on the family group. Or, you know, just a little clap or a little say, hey, you did that really well. Even if the child is not playing the song for what it is, right? Even if the child is a bit rusty, you tell them, hey, that was excellent. You know, maybe with a little bit of practice, you can improve. The child just gets an instant boost, you know, and that is the thing I tell the parents. It doesn't have to be the big things. It has to be those little, little things. Just maybe a little clap. Small steps. Like very, very small steps. Like just a little clap or just a quick video recording and sharing it with the family. Like kids just thrive on it, you know. Yes. And you will see that these little steps from the parents become a big motivation for the kids to practice. So yeah.
Mira does it. Mira comes to us, play. Yeah. I can't play you a song. Okay. And then she plays and she comes back. How was it? She starts to ask. She wants to hear that verse.
Yeah, the feedback.
Know? Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I want to ask you something. You know, I can, when I hear a melody, I can play it in the piano. Whichever song it is. I can play any song, but I can play it with my right hand. So not both hands, you know? And I ask you about that.
Yes.
And you told me that it's something that I need to practice to train my brain to use my left hand also.
Correct.
Can you give us some more information about that for people who has that talent but doesn't know how to improve?
So one of the things is when you do hear the melody, usually you play the lead on your right hand, especially when it comes to piano or a keyboard. You play your lead on the right hand. Your left hand, you play contrast chords or contrast melody to kind of combine and make it come together. Now that is difficult is because people who are not trained for music don't really know the kind of scales, the technicalities of it. So one thing I tell all my students is, and I think that is also one thing that I did with you, was let's start with scales. Because once you start cracking that, once you know exactly the sound of the song, then you can figure out the key. Once you figure out the key, you figure out the chords. And then you can, you know, make the melody. So I feel like with any kind of musician, knowing at least basic technical stuff like scales is so important because that kind of is the foundation of how you build your music.
It's a must.
Yeah, yeah. It's a must. It's a skill. If so, for an I mean, with a child, you are able to kind of bring them to improve that skill.
Yes, sure.
But and so the same with the adults. But with the adults, it's like you said, I can't play the right hand. I can't play the left hand. So let's do the technical work. which not a lot of adults like, to be very honest, because they just want to get to it. And they're just like, can we just now get to it? Yes, I can teach you that skill, but you're then only going to be, you know, stuck with this. that song. That's it. You're not going to be able to figure out the other one. You're going to be stuck with it. Yes. Right? So learning that basic skill is so important. Mm-hmm. That basic technique, not even skill. The basic technique is so important.
True.
Yeah.
On average, how much time does it take for an adult to learn the basic technique with your experience?
Maybe 2 months, three months. Yeah. Yeah. With like regular practice. And regular practice, I mean, maybe three times a week. Or three times a week consistently, even if it means sitting down with your instrument for 15 to 20 minutes. The longer you sit with your instrument, the better you explore your instrument, the more you spend time with it. But 2 to 3 months. I have a 74-year-old who's, who's learning the violin.
Really?
Yeah, so cute. And she picked up the violin and in 6 months, she was able to play songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last December, she also played Jingle Bells for me on the violin.
Nice.
So, it again depends on, person to person. You can't really put a finger and be like, in 2 months, you'll be at this
enjoying
place.
It also another
criteria,
maybe.
Yeah, you have to love it to stay with it. Yeah.
Especially for us adults, I believe. Because we don't have free time.
True.
Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some people will get frustrated. It's like people when they go to the gym, they don't see results within 5-6 weeks. They're like, no, I'm like, yes, but you're not consistent. It's the same thing.
True. Yeah. I mean,
what would be an alternative for a piano to learn at home? Is it an org or is it is there how the drums, the electric side?
Sure.
What would you recommend?
So if you don't want to get an electric piano or obviously acoustic is something that, not everybody wants to get. So an electric keyboard is fine.
Mm-hmm.
The keyboard usually doesn't have weighted keys, which is important when you're learning the traditional piano skills. Okay. But you can start with a keyboard, but very, very beginner level stuff. Once you do move on to the advanced level, then you need to have at least weighted keys. That is the basic of, even on a keyboard, you need to find weighted keys. And I feel like that's important for any student. Yeah.
Well, this one we didn't know.
Yes. I have some quick fire questions for you. I will start. Okay. Morning or night practice?
Whenever I have the time. Or whenever the child has the time.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Classical or jazz?
Classical earlier, jazz during Christmas.
Jazz during Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Teaching kids or adults?
Both.
Both?
Both. Can't
no
choose.
Difference for you?
No, I enjoy teaching kids and adults both. Yeah. Can't really pick choose. Yeah.
Okay. Solo or duet?
Okay, now that's a tough one. Duet maybe? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys do vocal classes?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful to sing with another person because, it always enhances your song.
I have a question about vocals.
Yes.
Can someone's voice become better if they practice or are you just born with a nice voice?
No, you can definitely. See, talent will always put you ahead, but, hard work is also important. So you with talent, you will always have the head start, but you can always improve with practice.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you can also train your voice.
Yes, definitely.
Can we tell that?
Yes, of course. You can definitely train your voice. For some people, it may require longer, but yeah, you will get there. You will get there eventually. Yes.
Okay.
Nice.
One more quick fire question for you.
Yes, please.
Coffee or tea before practice?
I am not a coffee or a tea person, but if I'm meeting a very energetic 5-year-old, then definitely coffee.
Okay. Nice.
When you wake up, what do you drink? Nothing?
I just drink. Just my turmeric water is what I start the day with. And that's what I drink. And,
very healthy.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm not a coffee or a tea person. So I'm happy without it. I can go without it.
Yeah. Perfect.
And do you guys do concerts or stuff or just it's just learning? So let's say now Christmas coming up or events and stuff. you create something or is it just...
So because we have a large network of students, it's always so difficult to kind of bring them all together on one platform, especially when it comes to forming a band, is because, you know, one lives in a certain area of Dubai, the other is very far away. And then, you know, to coordinate that time, like I said, the kids are busy. But we do different kind of
activities.
No, like performances, like we did one last year with the Keeping Your Kids Busy show. This year, we are planning an annual performance. Not this year. Next year, by June, we're planning an annual event where the kids will get to perform. Hopefully, we're able to bring a band together and, you know, let the kids play together.
Yeah.
So we do keep having once in a while. But ours is more learning-based. And then we also prepare kids for their school, assemblies or school.
Yeah. So, I was going to ask you about that. Trinity College exams. Can you give us a little information about that also?
Sure. So we do train kids for all certifications, that is ABRSM and Trinity College London Music. And all you need to do is have the syllabus with you, prepare the child for the syllabus. Right now, they're not doing in-person exams. So in Dubai, all they have is online exams. So what we do is every month before the 14th, we fill the form for the next month. So for example, if a child is going for an exam in November, you fill the form before the 14th of October, sign up the student for the exam. Your portal comes in the month of the exam by the 15th to the 18th, and then you have about 30 days to upload the exam. The recording is supposed to be taken in one go. So the child needs to be so prepared that they are supposed to play the entire set. That is three songs, two exercises, and a whole set of technicals in one video.
How long is it almost?
So it depends. Like Trinity, initial grade can finish in about a four-minute video maximum. Like a grade five would finish in about 10 minutes. A grade eight would almost take about 25 minutes. So it depends on, what your video, what your exam is like. And then obviously there are songs which are 3 minute long, 4 minute long as well when you sing. So it depends on the instruments and everything. Yeah.
And what happens, Fiona, when they pass the exam?
So you do get a certification. It depends on if you've gotten a merit or a distinction or you've just passed the exam, and that will come on your certificate saying that you've passed with merit or you've passed with distinction. Once you have it, you can use it for universities. It, you know, it gives you credit for universities that you're applying for.
Oh, okay.
For some students, they use it just to kind of have that level. Like they know what level we are at.
Yes.
But some want it because they are changing schools, so they need to show extracurricular activities and, certifications. So it's different. You can use it just for different
and
things.
And it's a good record for the university.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It serves as a really good record, a very substantial one.
Yes.
Yeah.
What would you do if you've had a kid that's very talented?
Yeah.
Like, can you spot it like directly or like some kids become very talented with time? And what do you tell the parent, you know, like if you see like a talent, has it happened with you? Like,
yes,
wow, like guys, you need to invest in this. So
in fact, I personally had a student about 4 years ago, and I talk about this particular student is because it's crazy how the mom just called me in saying that I don't know if the child is interested or not, but, you know, she saw her friend playing, so now she wants to play. And a very casual thing, and I go in for the trial. And I'm like, okay, hey, can we start? And then I start, you know, doing my trial. I have a very set of exercises that I do to kind of know if the child is rhythmically good or, you know, play by ear or traditional learner. And this child just starts singing and playing like different notes. So in all of that, I try and figure, I was like, no, this child definitely does have talent. And then she goes and she gets water for herself. And while I'm playing the note, she starts recognizing the notes that I'm playing. So if I'm playing a G, she's like, oh, this is G. And she's not even looking at the instrument. And then if I'm playing an E, she says, this is an E. So I then start, you know, doing these different keys. I start playing different keys with her, And she's able to recognize, this child turns out is pitch perfect. And it was amazing because then I go to the parents, I'm like, you definitely have a gifted child, you know.
Yes.
Like, there are so many musicians in the world who are still not pitch perfect. And they can be amazing musicians, but still not pitch perfect. And there are children like this. Who are so that is actually one of our assessments as well, a part of our assessments where we ask the child, we play different melodies, and so that has become like a
I feel like there's a lot of hidden talent in
definitely
the world. A lot
definitely yes. definitely yeah.
Thank you so much for coming, Fiona, joining
thank
us
you.
Today.
Really nice.
Yes,
thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure for us.
Yeah.
Hope to arrange something with your band together.
Yes.
Maybe
definitely.
For Christmas.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Special shooting all together.
Yeah, that will be amazing. I mean, if my kids can perform, that'll be amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for coming
again. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.